Today's Sabbath scripture is from your pew Bible, page 955, John 14:6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
So, I don't know how long I'm going to preach this morning, because the clock on the back doesn't work, so I'm just going to keep going until I'm done. Actually, I've got my phone up here with the time on it, so I'll keep it where it needs to be. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for your love and watch care over us. Thank you for the words you've given me today. Please bless my lips as I deliver them, and let only the words that you would have leave them. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. So, last week, I wasn't here because I was in Oklahoma. And we didn't fly. We drove. And Jennifer and I rediscovered something on our trip that has been a favorite traveling pastime of ours for quite a while. We used to travel from Collegedale home, which was six, seven hours to my house, eight to hers when we visit family. Well, to Oklahoma and back, we spent 30 hours driving. And we discovered that, we were reminded that we really, really just love talking. It's what our relationship started on. Just talking, communicating. And in the 30 hours, we talked about a lot. We listened to music, we played games with the kids, but we talked. And we talked about things we want to do this next year. How we might work out me going to school, how our finances at home. We talked about everything. This is kind of the way we want it to go from here. We have a new year coming up. It's a chance for new beginnings, a new start, for New Year's resolutions. We're going to look at the new year through a couple of characters today. I want to touch on a verse before we do. From the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 22. And most of you know this verse. As we look in to next year, there are things that we need to do. This verse says, and I may misquote it, but it says, "Be doers of the word, and not just hearers only." We hear things all the time, but how often do we act on them? Are we doers, or are we just hearers? And as we discuss new beginnings and starting over fresh, Wednesday, with a new year, we're going to look at three characters. We're going to start with Job, then we're going to look at Lazarus, and we're going to finish with Christ. So let's turn your Bibles to the book of Job. And I don't have one of the pew Bibles at home, so I don't know where it is to give you numbers. Job chapter 1. Before we can see how Job started over, with a new beginning. We have to see where he was. What was that? Page 451. Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. The man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. So that this man was the greatest of all the people in the East. So we look at Job. Right off, it says, Job is blameless. He feared God. He shunned evil and is upright. That's a great place to start, isn't it? Do we start there? Maybe, maybe not. No. And then it goes on. He had 10 kids, 7 sons, 3 daughters, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 100 oxen, 1,000 oxen, 500 female donkeys. Greatest in all the East. But what happened to Job? We know the story of Job. What happened? He lost everything in one day. It wasn't over a week. It was. This happened and the oxen are gone. And this happened and the donkeys are gone. And this happened and the cattle are gone. Camels and on down. And as the servant tells him one, while he's still standing there, the next one comes. The next one. What's the last servant tell him? His 10 kids. They all died. Job is devastated. But that's not where we leave Job. The book of Job is a discussion that he has between himself and his 3 friends. Of why. But Job gets a new start. We find that in Job chapter 42. So flip to the very last book of Job. Job 42, verses 10 through 13. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed Job, blessed the latter days of Job, more than his beginning. And he had 1,400 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys, and 7 sons, and 3 daughters. That poor woman. So, why Job? Why Job when we're talking about beginnings? Well, what does Job tell us? As we look at Job and the story, we have to wonder, why are we where Job was? Do we have tomorrow? We don't. Obviously, I mean, everything changed in a day. And we don't know how many days the discussion lasted of the book of Job. But he's weeping and mourning. We aren't guaranteed tomorrow. So we must act today. We must be doers now. The great thing about Job is through all of it, yes, he got everything back, but he never turned his back on God. Chapter verses 1 through 6 of chapter 42, they read like this. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak, you said. I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. So Job, through everything, didn't turn his back on God. In fact, he looked, it says he abhorred himself after seeing God and talking with God. Are we there? Do we, when we see God, abhor self? You know, through Job's discussion, he didn't just learn about God. What did he do? He got to know God. Let's look for a minute at our next character. Going to the book of John, chapter 11, we're going to look at Lazarus. Now, Lazarus is someone that knew Christ. He didn't know about him. He hadn't heard of him. He knew him. As Travis has brought out in our study of Mark with him, the home of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary is where Jesus would stay when he was in Bethany. So this isn't just a, hey, how's it going? This is my brother. I'm staying in your house. They are pals, buddies. Chapter 1, verse 11 gives us a picture of that. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany. I think I miswrote that. Of the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Verses 3 and 5. There it is. Therefore the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. So, he whom you love. Verse 5 says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So this isn't just, like I've said, this isn't just we're friends. This is Jesus loves them. And because of that, Jesus decided to give Lazarus a gift that's only recorded as him giving to one other person. He raises him from the dead. The other person would be the widow of Nain's son that he comes upon on his way to heal Lazarus. To raise Lazarus, excuse me. Doing all right. Come on in and have a seat. In verse 35, of chapter 11, we see how deeply Jesus felt about Lazarus. The shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. And you know, it's interesting. I searched for other passages of Jesus weeping or crying, and the word wept is only used one other time. It was just before this. It's in the book of Luke. It's recorded in the book of Luke. After the triumphal entry, Jesus comes to the crown of the hill and he overlooks the temple in Jerusalem. And he wept. It says he wept for the people. So Jesus weeps for those he loves. The other time we see him crying is in Gethsemane. Again, weeping over us. Christ raised Lazarus because he loved him. Christ wept over Lazarus. He also wept over Jerusalem and the people. Christ loves us like he loved Lazarus. Loves Lazarus. Because even though Lazarus died, his love didn't end. Knowing about Christ, quoting the Bible, it's not enough. We have to know Christ. We have to know who he is to give our lives to him so that he can know, he knows us, so that we can commune with him. Now let's look at Christ. I have three new beginnings in the life of Christ. The first one is the season we're in. Christ's birth. The Christmas season. He left heaven, started over as a babe. I'm not going to read Luke 2, because it would be a long time. But we know the story. He's born in a manger after a trip on a donkey that Mary has. Poor woman again. Pregnant woman on a donkey. And he starts over to develop that relationship with us. His closest relationship was with those 12 disciples. But he developed a 3-year relationship with them. Not to mention the 33 years that he lived on earth. Second new beginning of Christ, we see in Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Matthew 3, 13 through 17. Anybody have an idea where I'm going with on this? Baptism. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized of you, and you are coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly, a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You know, we have the same opportunity as Jesus did to be baptized and to start afresh in our lives.